This morning we begin our worship service with the chanting of Psalm 103, which includes at the conclusion of it great praise to God for the gift of his holy angels, as today we recognize the festival of St. Michael and all angels. So we join together now in singing Psalm 103. You'll see that we alternate the verses as indicated in the bulletin. Please rise. May be seated for the homily. If you happen to grab one as you came into the sanctuary, I invite you now to take out the homily printed for you on the white folded piece of paper for the Festival of St. Michael and All Angels. This is taken from excerpts of one of Dr. Luther's sermons, and I thought that it was so fitting not only in that it so beautifully speaks about the great blessings we have of the angels who guide us on the path to heaven. God gives special ministering spirits to protect us who've been brought to faith in Christ as our Savior alone from sin, death, and the devil. But in addition to that, Luther very beautifully here addresses the role we have as Christian parents, which many of you, Lord willing, may soon be. The text upon which his sermon was written is the gospel reading for a portion of the gospel reading for the Festival of St. Michael, taken from Matthew 18, where Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." And I'll now just read the homily for you. "This feast commemorating the angels has been placed in the church's calendar for the sake of our young people, or more correctly, for the sake of all Christians, so that they can train themselves to think about the beloved angels and thank God for appointing these mighty lords to be his servants for us. It is for this reason that the Epistle to the Hebrews calls them ministering spirits sent to serve those who are to inherit salvation. It is true indeed that God could sustain and preserve us for himself over against the devil and all misery without the ministration of the angels, but he does not want to do it this way. He has arranged it that one creature, it should be, one creature is to serve another. We should learn that God protects and aids us through his angels. Devils are everywhere. All they ever do is seek man's destruction. And it is certainly true, were God not continually to put restraints on the evil foe, he would not leave one little kernel of grain, no fish, no meat in the pot, no drop of water, beer, or wine in the cellar uncontaminated, nor, it should be, would he leave a sound member in our bodies. Therefore, when mishaps occur, these are clearly blows and strikes of the devil, who is constantly aiming and pitching at us, hoping to inflict all manner of hurt upon us. Against such a malicious, spiteful, cunning enemy, God has appointed the beloved angels to keep watch so that where the devil suddenly comes and strikes, an angel is there to counter it, for the struggle between angels and devils is constantly ongoing. However, God does at times permit us to experience such things that we might learn. If God were not there all the time preventing their occurrence, they would happen continuously. And for this reason, we should pray all the more diligently and thank God for such protection. We see this is precisely what happens to Job's case. God allows the devil to do anything he wants with Job's possessions. God gives the devil special permission. Should our Lord recall the angels, not one of us would survive, but all would be dead in a moment. It is an especially comforting thing that our Lord has such restraints on the devil that he is unable to do any more harm than what God permits and allows him. Let us learn that we are in grave danger every day and night as targets of the devil. He always has a crossbow stretched tight and a gun loaded, taking aim to strike us with pestilence, syphilis, war, fire, and violent weather. But through his precious angels, our beloved Lord God sees to it that the crossbow hits the devil and the gun blows up or misfires. On the other hand, he at times allows him to hit the mark so that we learn we are not high and mighty or in charge of everything, and so should pray all the more fervently that God would not let the devil have free rein, but through his angels graciously restrain him. When the Lord says, What the Lord says here relative to children is so important. It probably would have been enough to say, these little ones have their own angels. However, by saying, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven, he especially emphasizes the matter. It is tantamount to saying, I commend little children to you. Do not provoke them, but raise them well, for God is much concerned about them. And if you look down upon them and are unwilling to treat them with consideration, then at least respect their angels and stand in awe of them and learn from these very great spirits who very lovingly care for them and do for them what is best. They continually stand before the face of God, listen to and behold him, assist and serve him. You who are far, far inferior should do likewise, and not provoke the little children, but gladly minister to them. Now, if this were the only passage we had where Jesus states how greatly his heavenly Father is concerned about little children, we would have to conclude that among all good works, none are greater or better than to properly raise young people. For who would not regard it as important to serve those whom angels serve, who are continually before God's face? For this reason, father and mother, servants and maidservants, teachers and preachers, all who have anything to do with the young, should be sincerely happy, willing, and ready to perform such service, letting nothing deter them, since even the greatest princes of heaven are not ashamed to serve and look after the young. This is the first thing we ought to learn from the gospel. The second is that we willingly nurture the young, offending them neither in word or deed, so that they are not misled, but raised in the best possible way. And also teach them to pray, to be sexually pure, modest, obedient, faithful, good-natured, serene, and truthful, not profane in word or conduct. In short, that they do not become carnal, vulgar, rude, wild, dissolute people. This happens soon enough if it is not warded off through diligent training. Everyday experience teaches us that youth is like tinder, which is easily ignited, easily affected by what is evil and offensive. Therefore, it takes special diligence to be attentive to both children and their angels. Why does the Lord give this instruction? Solely for the reason that he understands very well how eager young people are to listen to obscene things and how easily they are misled. Young people come to know evil things more quickly and pay more attention to them than to the Lord's Prayer. This has its roots in that old evil firebrand, our sinful nature that sticks within us. That is why Christ preaches here so compellingly and admonishes so tenderly to take care of young people, saying, "When you train one of these little ones, when they are brought up in the fear and knowledge of God, in godliness and modesty, you then have done me the greatest service. I have assigned my noble servants, the beloved angels, to serve and attend them. Remember this and do likewise." Therefore, one should see to it that youth are carefully reared, not only that nothing is done to offend them, but that they are kept from all evil and diligently guided to be disciplined in conduct. So if a child curses or lets go with profanity, we must admonish him earnestly and say to him, "You ought to be deeply ashamed of yourself. Never do it again. For there stands your angel who sees and hears and is startled at such cursing and is very depressed by it. When your angel is startled and depressed, do you not believe that God will see this and be pained and angry? Take care and never do this again." With such and other words, our youth can be properly raised when otherwise they would grow up as troubled young people, learning and engaging in all manner of foul behavior. Every person should lend a hand here and guard against misleading our young people. Whoever does this is thereby doing as great a service as if he were carrying Christ in his arms. Thus, our message and sermon today is that the beloved angels govern in all the world and serve young people, and that Christ wants us to do likewise. Therefore, let us learn that father, mother, and teachers do God the greatest possible service when they properly train and teach young people. Let us now join in the morning prayer, which you will find on page 167. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go in peace. Amen.